This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp to provide you with access to the largest online therapy service in the world. And it can all be done from the comfort of your own home, from a phone, tablet or laptop. No commute, cutting down travel costs, and most importantly, it's affordable. With over 1,000 therapists in the UK, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. If you need someone to talk to and you're thinking of giving therapy a go, BetterHelp is a great option. And being a listener of the podcast, you get 10% off. That's 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/lifeandfilm. That's betterhelp.com/lifeandfilm. Welcome to A Life in Film.
I'm Elliot James Langridge. I'm an actor, writer, and apparently a podcaster. And I love film. This is the podcast that we ask our guests from in front and behind the camera, how did they get their foot in the door? What was the key to unlocking their success? What's their story?
Previous guests include Toby Jones, Sam Clement, Natalie Emmanuel, Andrea Riseborough, and Tony Curran, to name a few. Today's guest is an actress whose career started when she was spotted on Spring Break by director Andrea Arnold. She was plucked off the beach and cast in the lead role in the critically acclaimed American Honey, which went on to win the Jury Prize at Cannes Film Festival. Since then, she's joined the MCU with Loki, fought alongside David Harbour's Hellboy, had conversations with friends, learned how to blow up a pipeline, and gone toe-to-toe with Tom Holland in Apple TV's The Crowded Room. We chat about mental health, imposter syndrome, digging deep for her performance in The Crowded Room, and Twisters, the highly anticipated sequel to the 90s classic. Our guest today is actress Sasha Lane. It's a life in film!
Do you know why you're here?
I have these blank spots.
You are safe now.
It never struck you as strange that this man just showed up to save you?
Just figured I was lucky.
Have you ever been lucky?
No.
There's glass everywhere.
Signs of a struggle. Blood on the floor.
What about the girl?
No sign of her either. I'm thinking then he offed her.
What did you do?
This wasn't a random shooting. He's hiding something.
What happened in that house? Where did they all go?
I have these blank spots.
They're not the only people close to you to disappear, are they?
Do you think these are all victims?
Can you see how all of this can seem like it was you?
Wait, do you think that I'm the one pulling the strings?
What if I said I do?
I'm not!
Danny, I'm trying to help you.
I didn't shoot anybody.
His best interest is to plead guilty.
They're all in this together.
If I'm right, Danny may be innocent. What are you not telling me? What are you not telling yourself? Did you see him run? Did you see him
run?
Hello.
Hi. Before we chat about your new show, I want to go back and I want to chat about how it all began for you, because I'm sure a lot of people know this story, but it's quite an interesting story how you got into acting. But I'd love to hear it in your words.
It's so hard to like describe because it's such a like, do you want the long version or the short version? Basically, everything changed when I ended up on a beach in Panama City, Florida. Andrea and who's now my manager now, Amy, which is even crazier, came up to me on the beach and basically just said that they'd been watching me. And exactly, it just gets weirder, man. Said that they had been watching me and they liked my spirit and basically ended up coming back to my hotel that I was staying at with a few friends later on that night. So not even off the bat. And honestly, I just the next morning went to breakfast with them and ended up staying a week longer in Florida to audition, basically. with some of the other people that were in the film and who lived in Florida, and have just conversations with Andrea and whatnot. And by the end of the week, she just kind of told me that she wanted me to do her film.
Wow, that is like a it's like a fairy tale, isn't it? Really, that's incredible. Were you hesitant at all? Were you kind of suspicious and kind of thinking, who are these people? And
I mean, in the beginning, first off, like, I didn't even expect her to come to my hotel. Like, I did not think it would continue on like that. Also, it was spring break on the beach. That seemed weird. Why would you ask me for a film? And then, but my friends, they were like Googling her name. They were, you know, doing all of like kind of the research of it. And I just had a gut feeling, which I wouldn't tell my kid this, but like, if you have a gut feeling, then like, just go for it. So I kind of was like, please don't kill me, but it feels about right. I went with it. Yeah.
And before that, did you have any prior interest or experience in acting at all? Was that literally the first moment?
That was the first thing. It's acting. My kind of world is, oddly enough, everything that like terrifies me of like on camera, performing, being told what to do, everybody watching you. It's not my world that I thought I would have ended up in, for sure.
American Honey is one of those movies that, that's what it is, you know, it's about real life, it's about real people, and it feels very real. And I mean, obviously I've read a lot about that movie, and I saw it when it came out, but Andrea was obviously going for that. She was trying to find real people to place around some of the better known cast, and I mean, I guess that's why it works so well. But that experience on that movie, being your first film, and like, you know, learning to hit your mark and all these things, was that kind of overwhelming at first?
While filming it, it was a little over my head, because I think Andrea does a great job of choosing the people that she does to be in her films and creating this space of like, this just feels normal. This feels like everyday life. So on the flip side, it's like it wasn't, but on the flip side, you kind of start to be like, what is going on? Like, I'm actually doing this. And it was the can and everything after that and the press and stuff that kind of made me feel like, how did this even happen? Like, how did I enter this world that doesn't make sense to me? And kind of started off with something that felt personal. And because filming that movie felt kind of like my summer or something. And then now all of a sudden it's being put on screen and premiered, and it's a very weird experience.
I can imagine. And obviously it won the main prize at Cannes Film Festival, when it was BAFTA nominated, all these amazing things. What was it like then, you know, having this amazing thing, and I mean, your performance is unbelievable. I'm sure many people have told you that, but then going, right, okay, what's next? And moving on and going, I'm going to have to audition, or I'm going to have to... Yeah. What was that like, going into that world that you weren't kind of used to?
I had to be convinced, basically, because it wasn't something that I wanted. It wasn't a world that I knew, even heard about. I never knew really about the auditioning process and, you know, what that looked like in the actual Hollywood world. My brain thought like, LA is Hollywood. Cool. You guys have big lights and billboards. And I just literally was so Texas minded. And I don't mean that in like in a disrespect. It's just properly no idea what any of it looked like, that I was very much against it. And I just felt like, I don't trust that world. I don't like any of that. So having to, one, be kind of convinced, and two, then go into these auditions that, you know, I liked the script. It, you know, it looks good. Okay, like, I love to read. So to me, the storytelling, all of that makes sense. But what do you do in a room with four walls, a bunch of lights, and two people who are like, okay, act this scene out? And you're like, how? There's nothing. What do I even do with my arms? What do you mean? I'm supposed to be like in a car right now and I'm just standing in front of you. That was very, I didn't know what to do, basically. I didn't know how to like perform in their way. Yeah.
Have you felt, are you a bit more ease with that now? Have you kind of, you've been doing it, you know, it's a good, good few years now since that happened.
Yeah, definitely. I've definitely more settled into it all. I have a better understanding, but I think I'm still a bit naive to some of the stuff, and I don't mind that, because at the end of the day, especially with my life now, I love it, but it's never going to be something that is going to destroy me to get a role. Or I don't know all these producers and everything they've done. And I just learned what Waterworld was at like, and I'm just sitting in the car like, what? Why is it? And they're like, duh, this. I'm like, I don't know these people. I don't know this thing. I don't know why this is important to you, because I didn't grow up with that. And I love it. I love my job. I'm thankful. I appreciate it. But at the end of the day, it's also not something that's like, oh, my soul, my heart, and my passion is this. It's just not my world. It genuinely is not something that I know how to fully exist in, I guess.
And growing up, were there any, you say obviously you're not aware of Waterworld, which, I mean, if you haven't, still haven't seen it, you need to watch it. It's an absolute banger. What movie, like, did you have any movies growing up that you were a fan of? Or was that just something that you just didn't do as a kid?
Me and my brother, I remember, like, specifically, especially during the summers, because, you know, both our parents worked, like, full on. But my movie watching as a child was like, we have Dumb and Dumber, we have Selena, we have Dumb and Dumber 2, we have, you know what I mean? Or like Friday or something like that. But like, it wasn't, let's dive in straight to the, or like Planet of the Apes or whatever. That's as deep as we got. The Incredibles, Jurassic Park. Indie film and that kind of world did not exist to me until I got to LA and people were like, you gotta watch this film, you have to do this. Or maybe like high school, I kind of like found like stuff of like the younger Angelina Jolie kind of films, Girl Interrupted kind of thing. That to me was like, ooh, there's like more meaning to this. But before it was what my dad watched on like a weekend if he wasn't working, you know?
So. I don't know. I wouldn't say that, you know, Dumb and Dumber hasn't got meaning, but...
I'm getting coffee with you.
It's all good. It's all good. Go for it.
And then what about buckets for the iPhone? I brought you two glasses.
You're amazing. Thank you.
Whereabouts are you at the moment? You in LA?
No, I'm in Oklahoma. I'm out here filming, thankfully. We'll see how that keeps going, but I like it. I like Oklahoma City.
Yeah,
it's so close to Texas, and they have similarities, but it's also very different in a lot of ways.
Are you I'm not sure if you have you finished shooting Twisters, or is that what you're shooting now?
Yeah, that's what I'm here doing. And it's just so hilarious of like the only delays or something that we'll have here is there's a tornado. We actually can't be outside. Or on the opposite side, it's like the sun is too sunny. Shooting Twisters. We can't have that good of weather. Like, yeah, but it's good. I'm really enjoying everyone and what we're doing. So it's nice.
Nice. Well, that's a film that I grew up with. The first one, Twister. Was that something you were aware of, or did you have to do your homework once you were kind of involved with the project?
No, 100%. I also, within my movie world of, you know, growing up, Twister was definitely a part of that. I think Isaac himself, in talking to him, helped. And I still always need to talk to the director. I need to, you know, get that world. But 100% was like, Twister. I mean, like, love that. Come on. It's amazing. Yeah.
I love that. Is that something, I mean, that must be quite surreal to, from where you've started and now you're kind of, you're doing this movie, a movie that you were aware of, like, when you were a kid. Is that kind of surreal? Is that, that must be kind of freaky.
Yeah, I didn't, I don't really think I grasped how special that was, or I knew how special it was, but not, not to the extent of like, you're doing sequel Twister, which is a good thing to, you know, note right now of like, that is pretty incredible. But I think sometimes my brain is just like, doesn't believe anything that is happening right now. This doesn't make any sense for my life. But on the flip side, it's just like, in an actor's world, they're geeking out. For me, it's just like, yeah, for once, it's like, you have no idea. I actually knew this as a kid, like all the way from Texas. Like, this was our thing. I know tornadoes. Like, I watch them all the time. Like, that's my upbringing. I know this world. And I think that's what's even cooler to me is like, no one else actually knows what it's like to be in the tornado world and like go through that. So I think for me, it's kind of like the coolest little thing of like, little tidbit, guys. I know what the air smells like when it's coming.
Yeah, you know, you can sense it. You're like, this do you get many cows flying around? That was one of the things that I really remember from the first film where you see the cow go.
There's so many cows out here. And obviously in Texas, that a part of me is always questioning, like, what happens? Like, when the tornado comes, like, what do you guys huddle to make yourself, like, heavier? Or do you, like, sit down? Like, what happens? There's so many cows. You're bound to fly.
There has to be a system. I'm sure there is. Hopefully you'll learn before you finish filming what that is.
Yes.
Well, to talk about your new project, The Crowded Room, which is obviously now on Apple TV. I'm 2 episodes in, so I'm going to just say no spoilers because I'm already like, oh, and I know there's going to be some twists coming. And for our audience as well, just in case people haven't watched it, we'll try and traverse the spoilers. But I mean, what an interesting show, and what a great character so far. I mean, I don't know where she's going yet, but
she might be shit later on. Is that what you're telling me?
Oh, it's great so far. what was the preparation like for this? I mean, am I right in saying that it's kind of inspired by a novel which came out in the 80s, but not necessarily, because I'm trying to avoid even. I was looking that up a bit and I was like, oh, I might give away what happens. But
even Akiva, the writer, because funny enough, like I started reading the book for like a book club and watching, watching the documentary beforehand and kind of at the same time, which was very weird. And I was starting to draw things and connect them. And he was like, stop, don't read it. Like it has nothing. Has a little bit to do, you know, the idea, like pulling a bit of the story, but generally Akiva, it's more so like his own personal experiences as well as the broader spectrum of like so many people's stories all mixed into one. And I think that's kind of my favorite part because like prepping, as you say, I'm not researching a bunch of people who've like had trauma or had things happen, you know, it's just more so like, I know what that feels like in a way. And also here goes somebody's words telling me that this is with them, their friends, you know, their past, their future, like who knows what it all feels like. And so it's less of, let me study. And it's just more of like, you just need to be very vulnerable and willing to do that because there is ultimately like a bigger purpose why you're breaking down some walls, because it hopefully will be beneficial to people and they'll feel, you know, maybe more connected or they'll feel a bit more seen doing stuff like that. So being asked a question of like research, it's like, unfortunately, I already know what this feels like, but there is a good reason for why you tap into it.
I mean, it is one of those shows so far that it's pretty traumatic and it's pretty dark. And how do you, when you go in for a role like this, like a lot of the roles that you've played, there's quite a lot of variation there, but this one feels like, having not seen it all yet, I don't know where it's going, but it feels like one of the darker roles. As an actress and going into something like this, the process of, you know, going for an audition, as you say, like in a room, blank room, and you're having to do these scenes, was it a normal audition process, or was this, how did you come to be in this show?
It was the first part of it, I would say it was pretty normal. Just like I had a couple of scenes, was just trying to get it right, but then it became kind of one of those things of weeks later, I don't know how long it took exactly, but all of a sudden I'm in Houston hanging out and they're like, I just need you to do this one tape, this one section again, but like try it like this. And I'm like, okay, I need to stack your books on top of this. I'm going to put my camera. Can you just like shh to the corner while I do this scene again? It was one of those things that I kind of was like, I need to get it. I want it. This is mine. But it was so serious in terms of we have to go through all the levels that I just kind of at the drop of a dime. And then I think the ultimate audition for me was the chemistry read with Tom, while also simultaneously like meeting Akiva and Cornell and talking about it. But then there's a process of cutting my hair and everything. It's quite long, I guess, to be honest. Yeah.
You've worked with several big names and you mentioned obviously Tom Holland there. It must be kind of strange going in and doing a read with someone like that when you're so familiar. Well, maybe you're not. I don't know. Like if you haven't watched many films, you might not be familiar with him as Spider-Man, but
yeah.
I'm sure you were familiar with him. And for me, even watching the show, I'm kind of in my mind, I'm like, he's Spider-Man. But the minute the show starts, you're like, oh, he's a completely different character in this.
Yeah.
Doing the read, what was the, I mean, can you talk us through the process of doing that with him?
I think for me, which really does benefit me, is walking into this world. One, usually, maybe I'm not as aware of people and their record and what they do. And therefore I'm just like, no idea, man, but hey, nice to meet you. Obviously I've heard he's Spider-Man, but I'm such a like focused in on the person kind of thing. And this work felt like something that I genuinely felt very like attached to. Therefore it went into it going like, as if like, okay, we're about to walk into a therapy session together, or, you know, just something like much more gentle and not like we're about to make a big production or something. And so doing the chemistry read, I was in another hotel. I know I was nervous and kind of like, how do I get this right? But on the flip side, there was this beautiful thing, especially because Akiva was also there in Cornell, of feeling like even if I mess this up, they know that I have so much like passion for this, or I'm going to take care of it. Like your words are safe with me. And half of the chemistry read with Tom, because it was on Zoom, which is very hard.
Oh, that's even worse.
It was not in person. It was very much like, how do I make you need me for this role through a computer screen? That was definitely not ideal, but I felt like I had enough in me to do that. And it ended up turning into like me just being like, okay, this is how I think we should work, in terms of you can ask me anything, you can lean on this, like if you need, you know, this amount of time, like this is not going to be easy. Basically it was like prepping us for like a boot camp of filming. And I didn't even have the role, but my mind was like, this is how we're going to work together. And yeah. And
that's probably the best way to go in, though. It's like reverse psychology. Like, no, I've got the role already. So like, this is how we're going to do it.
And they're like, I feel really safe. I feel like I know what the day is going to look like now. We should hire her. We haven't hired her yet. Oh, interesting.
Now for a quick break. Are you a writer and director, actor, costume designer, perhaps makeup artist? Are you interested in camera? This is the place to share your journey. We want to hear from you. How did you start your career? Has it started yet? And perhaps, if you're feeling brave, share with us your most embarrassing film-related moment. So slip into our DMs at Life and Film Pod on Instagram. Check out the Patreon at patreon.com/lifeandfilm. Where you'll get episodes early and uncut, amongst other treats. And don't forget to follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you enjoy this episode, please leave us a positive rating. Add us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, at Life in Film Pod, and find our video episodes on YouTube by searching Elliot James Langridge, Life in Film. Essentially, please like and subscribe everything. It makes a huge difference. Thank you. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you work in the film industry? Are you freelance? Or perhaps you have a 9-to-5? No matter what you do, mental health affects us all. I struggled early on in my career with the uncertainty of if and when I would ever work again, struggling to pay my bills, or simply with anxiety. Don't know about you, but being an actor, it's very important for me to maintain structure in the down times, and I found not only exercise, but talking to someone, for me, was a game changer. And so Life in Film has partnered with BetterHelp to provide you with access to the largest online therapy service in the world. And it can all be done from the comfort of your own home, from a phone, tablet, or laptop. No commute, cutting down travel costs, and most importantly, it's affordable. With over 1,000 therapists in the UK, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. If you need someone to talk to and you're thinking of giving therapy a go, BetterHelp is a great option. And being a listener of the podcast, you get 10% off. That's 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/lifeandfilm. That's betterhelp.com/lifeandfilm.
And back to the show. I saw, it's probably all hearsay and rumours, but a thing about Tom Holland saying that he's going to have a bit of time off, and people are kind of speculating it's because this role was pretty heavy. And before I started to watch it, I thought, what am I about to watch? It's like, you know, Tom Holland's taken a year off after this. Like, yeah. What am I watching? But was the... How long was the shoot? Because it must have been pretty intense. Was it quite a long stint?
I think because he also executive produced. So if you think about it, like, he has a little bit of extended time in terms of like before and after, probably. For me, for the rest of us, it was like around 6-ish months, probably maybe a little bit more. And like, you know, obviously I'm not trying to like speak for him and whatnot, but we filmed this a year ago, so he did the show and then was like, I'm tired, I need to take a break. That's kind of what that was for him. But also, like, on the flip side, doing something like Twisters after doing something like The Crowded Room, me, you know, as well, I'm like, it's really nice to just giggle, laugh, to just have a good time. You just like throw some hail at me and I'm just like still like trucking it. It was a long shoot. It's not easy. You know, one the hour, just in general, I feel like, you know, it's not the easiest work. But also, like, when you're putting so much care into things, your brain also is a little bit more depleted after, because, and like a little bit of your heart, because you're trying so hard to make sure that something is translating properly, or you're taking care of it properly. And also you have life at the same time. Like, I'm flying back and forth to my kid in between filming something like that. And then just being like, good morning. Can't wait to go to the park today. You know, it's a little bit like a brain. Yeah. It's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I myself am an actor as well, and I find that every time I do a film or a part, whatever it is, like the first role I ever did, I was the lead in a film, and it's, you know, it's months of shooting, and then suddenly your body just, I feel like every job afterwards, I just get ill. I just, yeah, and my body yeah. just shuts down. I'm like, oh, I need to rest now. So especially if it's something 6 months, that is a long old time for you to keep that momentum going. And yeah, good on you for going almost straight into Twisters. I mean, why would you not though? It's Twisters. You got to do it.
Yeah, definitely. I think I had like a mini break in between and did something else. I don't even remember at this point. I feel like everything is blending and bleeding into each other. But I think I did take probably like a good chunk of time of just like doing nothing and then being scared that maybe I don't like enough films and I'm not filming. But also on the flip side, I was like, I probably just like need a break. Yeah. Like to be nice to myself. And then Twisters came and it's like, yeah, sure, I'll go to Oklahoma. Mess around, yeah.
Your CV, even though you started in like 2015, 2016, you feels like you've made very deliberate decisions with your career and your jobs that you've taken on. Is that the case, or have you just kind of been lucky with what you've done? And I mean, everything seems to be really good. You haven't done a dud yet, is what I'm saying, and it's got to come at some point.
Yeah, I know, right. I have been very, I think, because I don't want to, you know, disrespect anyone. I think there's the world of when I got to LA, here I am kind of like, oh gosh, if I have to like go to Universal Studios, I don't really know how big of a deal that is that I'm going to this, but my Uber driver is like, I've been acting for 10 years and it's a dream to like make it there and to do that. There is that difference of my life of not really processing how big of a deal it is and how much, you know, you want something. I don't have, or especially in the beginning, didn't have that drive of like, I need to do every film possible because this is my hustle. I want to be an actor. I want to be this. My main reasoning for continuing has always been more of a spiritual thing. If I can connect with people and people hit me up after and they feel like how I felt watching a show like Shameless, or how I felt watching certain movies, feeling like I'm not alone in the world that I see my life in, or your family's just as chaotic, or you're a bit confused by your emotions. That's why I'm still doing this. Mm. That beauty, and also myself needing like some outlet to express certain parts of myself. So I pick my films precisely in how I feel like my gut says to do Pipeline. I'm probably feeling a bit moody, so I'm going to go do this film, you know, which is weird. And I'm getting better at that. It's also like, okay, if you're going to do Crowded Room, you need to make sure that you have a balance of technique and also just raw emotion because you have a family now. Okay. Like everything is so calculated. Even if it's like a whimsical choice of like, I just really feel like I should do it. I still felt it in my gut. That's the strongest thing I have. Mm. And I've had to deal with my whole career, people being like, if I were her, I would just take every film possible. If I were her, I would just jump on the bandwagon. Or she hasn't done anything. Like there's barely any films. Like I wish people would, you know, see her more and put her in more films. I'm like, I've turned down 10 movies. Mm. Or I don't care about the money because this industry is so hard, and what we're doing, especially what I'm doing, is so deep sometimes that like I need a second to like cry it out myself. You think I'm gonna keep doing those films every second? No. So yeah, like I think a lot of people just think that somehow I'm missing out or I'm not being seen enough or whatever, which could be the case in some aspects, but on the flip side, like I'm also trying to make sure like I can breathe.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It feels like you've been working continually, so I don't know who's telling you you need to do more.
You know, like, what do you mean? Yeah. I'm tired. Should I not be? Yeah. I don't know. People who don't know movies. Yeah.
But this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. So we talk about mental health quite a lot on this. In terms of like, obviously we talk about you working a lot, but then downtime? Has there been much downtime where you've had to kind of, you know, find a hobby to make yourself sane, or like, or do you enjoy those? It sounds like you enjoy those moments of quiet because you're working quite a bit.
Yeah, I think recently is probably the most downtime I've had, minus like the pandemic, even though I was still finishing films during the pandemic. So I was kind of doing that. I had a newborn, so did not have downtime. But it goes back and forth because, you know, I welcome the break. I welcome like, huh, I can chill. I don't have to do much. I can just do as I please and just hang out kind of. But on the flip side, in the back of my mind, I'm like, what if you never work again? You haven't even gone to school for this. There's so many better qualified people. There's that, you know, like my mind starts to race and do that thing of, what is it? Like I forgot the word for it basically, but like the imposter syndrome of like, I don't belong here. I don't want it enough, but like, I do want it. And it's just my mind starts to do a little bit too much of the what ifs. But I definitely think I'm getting better because of my daughter and being like, also, I'll probably be gone for 6 months, kid. So right now it's so important. And I'm happy to just be here and I'll find it somehow. I have a lot of faith in the unknown. I'm just like winging it. So just hoping.
Whatever you do, just keep doing it, because it seems to be going pretty well.
Yeah.
I feel that that is a thing, even with actors that have been doing, you know, 50, 60 years, people that have had their whole careers, they're still like, well, what's the next job? Am I going to, you know, suddenly be out of work or not have any money? I feel like it's just kind of instilled once you start working as an actor, it's just that initial worry that just stays there.
Yeah. I was talking to Glenn and Brandon about that, of like, we all were like, do you ever feel like maybe sometimes you might not get a job again? Or like, you get it, but you're so nervous of like, are you sure that you meant to hire me? Are you good? You know, but I think we all have it, no matter what level you're at, how long you've been in this, probably it keeps us going, like that little kind of like fire up your ass, basically, of like, you need to be a little bit nervous. Even if I love a 5-step audition process, because I'm like, everyone has seen my tapes. Everyone they put me through the ringer on this. It's not a fluke. I deserve to be here. And the first day on set, I'm still like, are you sure? Me.
There's still time to,
you know, like, what if that was a great day that I had and you're basing your whole future film off of that one day, and now I don't feel the same mood, man. Like, I don't, it's hard.
That's a mad, actually, that is what you've just said there is a bit mad. You think it's like one audition or two or whatever it is, and they're like, well, we're going to shoot for 6 months, and it's all because of that.
Yeah,
that is a bit crazy.
Energy is like different or off, and then I'm just find myself upholding the same kind of like, so excited thing, and I'm like, sure, yeah. I just revealed myself there, but definitely.
That's good though. It's good.
Yeah.
I get this thing where the first couple of days, maybe even sometimes the first week, I feel like I'm not quite in my stride and I'm overstressing, overthinking everything, and it's all a bit uncomfortable, and you're still getting to know the names of the crew and the cast and everything else. And then suddenly there'll be a day where you don't even realize it until 3 weeks later, but you're like, oh, that went away. And now I'm in ease, a little bit more at ease, and I'm enjoying it a bit more. Do you have that?
I feel like I do, but I don't know how like authentic it is, because I feel, I think for me, it's more when my actual personality reveals itself. Like if I start making like dark jokes or I get quiet or whatever, then I feel like, oh, I guess I do feel comfortable, because now you're seeing the real Sasha, but it's when I'm constantly bubbly and I'm panicking on the inside. I don't know what I'm doing here, man. So I'm extra, you know, and then everyone is just like, ugh, your energy. And I'm just in my mind, like, it's bullshit. I
love that, right?
Yeah. And then you go to like the producer dinner or something and they're like, great work. Everything's great work. And I'm like, you're lying to me. But also, why would you be lying to me? Why would you pay to lie? So yeah. It's not until I'm just kind of like, what a fucked up day today is, right, man? That I'm like, oh, I'm in this now. Let's film. I feel like I tapped into my character. Yeah.
Love that. With this podcast, we have a couple of things that we always do. It's a bit of a tradition. And one of them is...
Hey, I'm Kevin Bacon. It's 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. I'm Kevin Bacon.
Do you know the game? Are you aware of the game? Do you know Kevin Bacon? That is the first question.
I was like, I'm really bad at names.
Okay. Okay, so Kevin Bacon... actor, he was in Footloose. He's done. Uh-huh. I'll get a picture up if that helps.
Should I go? Kevin Bacon?
Yeah, Kevin Bacon. He's a bit of a legend. He's been around since like. Oh, the late...
okay. Facts. Yeah. Okay, I know.
You know him. Okay, great. Yeah. So this game, 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon, is basically how apparently everyone in the film industry is connected to Kevin Bacon within 6 degrees, which is a kind of a mental fact because he's done so many films that everyone's connected. So I was going to ask you, do you know how you're connected to Kevin Bacon? But obviously, I don't think you do.
Makes me hungry.
So I can tell you if you like.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So your connection to Kevin Bacon goes you... You did the movie Hellboy. That film had David Harbour in it.
Uh-huh.
And David Harbour worked with Kevin Bacon on Black Mass. So that means you've got, I think that's 3 degrees of Kevin Bacon, which is very good. It's a good result. That's
so wild.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Connected. It's not, Luke, it's like the sperm donor of like Hollywood.
Yeah. That's what we'll call him from now on, Kevin Bacon.
Oh man, crazy.
Yeah. Most embarrassing moments,
yeah. That's a solid question, and I'm not lying to you. It because probably there was something probably so early that was just like disastrous that made me this way, but I don't get embarrassed that easy. Like maybe I get a little bit like darn it, but I'm such a weird person that I'm at this point I'm kind of like that sucked. And I don't really feel that sense of like this is so embarrassing, even if I'm like I'm so embarrassed, I'm not really that fucking embarrassed because you're giggling, you're smiling, you're like that cute little squirrel. I'm like yeah. It's hilarious that I did that. I trip all the time. I run into things. I say stuff that I probably shouldn't say at important dinners that I probably should not be at in that predicament. Like I'm always in a position to be embarrassed. And I think at this point in my life, I'm kind of like,
oh, well,
I'm probably having a better time than you are. Mm-hmm. So I don't think, I think maybe like, and I was a kid, so it's not that like embarrassing. It's kind of just like obvious, but this is dark. I drowned as a kid.
Oh my God.
You're like.
less embarrassing and more.
But when I'm trying to tell this story, it's like, you know, those little like floater shoes, the ones that keep you from like scraping your feet at the bottom of the pool.
Yeah.
So I like threw them in the water. And they floated, and I was like, idea. If I put them on, I'll float. No, my ass sank to the bottom of the pool, and someone had to find me.
Oh, no.
But to me, it's kind of like, what an idiot. I thought I was going to float from shoes.
How old were you at the time?
I was about, like, I think, like, five or six.
Oh, Wow, and you remember it?
I do, because I remember like the stomach pumping. I remember like coming up and down multiple times. I remember like very vividly floating, which is probably my like I'm dying. But in my mind, I was like, wow, somebody save me. Yeah.
Do you have any sort of fear of swimming now, or has that not affected you in that way?
No, but I don't swim.
Okay, so it may have been
someone even told me, like, because the way I drink water is I either have to gulp it or I don't, or I feel like I almost like choke on it, and they're like, it's because you drowned, and I'm like, bet I don't feel like that. But
wow, that is an intense story. Well, if I'll give you just because I haven't told anyone this yet, and I feel like it's pretty embarrassing, so I can give you my embarrassing story, which happened to me only a couple of weeks ago. I was going in for an audition, and it was a commercial audition. You know, when you go in and you have to stand there, say your name, do your hands, turn to the sides, all those things. So I went in for it, and they're like, oh, you're in next. You've got like 5 minutes. I was like, okay, cool. I'm just going to pop to the toilet. I'll come back up, so I'm all ready. Go down to the toilet, go into the cubicle, and the cubicle doesn't have a lock. And the door is kind of like to the hallway. So I'm like, oh, I can't, I'm going to have to kind of hold the door closed. Yeah. Hold the door closed while I go to the toilet. So I'm there and I'm like, oh, screw it. No one's going to come. So I end up going to the toilet. Then I hear someone come in. So then I kind of halfway through try and grab the door and close it. All the while not really thinking about what I was doing. And I look down and I've managed to pee all the way down my trousers to my knee. Like, I had light blue jeans on, so they were like, it was not supple.
Yeah.
And it was so bad that I just looked down and I thought, no. No. I took a photo because I was like, no one's going to believe how bad this is. This is worse than you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
And I came out of the toilet and I thought, there must be a dryer or something. There was no dryer. Yeah. I'm there patting down my trousers with toilet paper. It's not working. So my plan was to essentially get as much water from the sink and just splash my trousers all over.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I'm like, should we wet the whole thing? Like, should we make it seem like a just sink accident?
Dip them in there. And then so I went into the audition. My trousers are drenched, but at least they're one solid colour. But I have to stand there and I have to give my hands, do the side, and there's a bright light on me. And I'm just thinking, she must know. I mean, I didn't get the job, so maybe that was possible to do with it. But
I feel like A for effort of that's pretty. I was thinking maybe like a semicircle, like, you know, like a splash the extra water on it and be like, that darn sink. But you went full jeans.
I went full jeans. I think I tried to do what you said there, where I was like, I do a bit and see what it looks like, and I'm like, well, that's just not working.
And then it's just a spot, and then
now I have to commit.
Yeah. I feel like the bathroom is definitely like one of those embarrassing, like, especially as a girl, like if you have a romper or like overalls or something, it's just it sounds like busted in the bathroom, and you're like, I'm so
right it's now. Some of the best humor as well, and embarrassing moments. A lot of our stories have been toilet based, so it's obviously a good place to get the stories from. But Sasha, this has been wonderful. I didn't think we'd end on that note, but I'm glad we did. And thank you so much for taking the time. I've really enjoyed
this. Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of the show.
Yeah.
And Twisters as well. I will be bang up for that when that comes out.
Yeah, just think about me giggling and doing weird shit out here.
Thank you. Yeah, enjoy the shoot.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man.
All right. Take care. Thank you very much. Okay. Cheers. Bye.
It's a laugh and film, motherfucker. Subscribe and like and follow.
The Crowded Room is on Apple TV now. Thank you to our guest Sasha, and thank you to Sloan at Narrative PR. And as always, thank you to our sponsor, BetterHelp.
I just thought it was a coincidence.
Danny, are you really willing to take the blame for this?
Danny Sullivan is on trial for a serious crime.
Get out with your hands!
hands up!
He is someone with good intentions, but he is a kid who's lost. Danny is not from a strong background.
Loser.
He yearns to be normal, like any teenager, but he struggles and he is suffering.
I'm gonna kick your little wiry ass.
God, I'm so sorry. Please, please.
You wanna come in, clean yourself up?
Our whole show is a mystery.
What about the girl?
No sign of her either. I'm thinking then he offed her.
Raya Goodwin is a professor. She's passionate about her job. She's the way into Danny's psyche. She's trying to save his life.
Do you know where she is, Danny?
I keep telling you, I don't know where she is.
It is a twisting tale, a psychological thriller. It's a show like no other.
Do you think these are all victims?
Paradigms continue to swing back and forth like a pendulum.
What do you want me to say? That this whole thing was a setup from the start?
What if it was?
I hope that people are gripped. I hope that people are shocked.
He's hiding something.
If I'm right, Danny may be innocent. Danny, where did they all go?